Good morning and welcome to HealthWorks. This is Carol Knier, Way Memorial Community Health Manager. And first, I would like to wish everyone a happy Easter. It is Sunday, April 4th. And for those of you that celebrated Passover this previous week, happy Passover and any other holidays that individuals may be celebrating today or the coming week. So on today's show, I have two guests. I have Tanya Corelli. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning.
And Tanya is the Director of Special Education for Wallen-Palpac Area School District. And then my next guest is Dan Nalesnik. Okay,
yes.
I got it. And Dan is the Assistant Director for Special Ed at Wallen-Palpac.
Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. And today we're here to talk about autism, and because April is National Autism Awareness Month, correct?
It is.
And thank you. Thank you both for, doing the show with me today, because I feel that this topic is really, really important for our community. We had set a training for our staff at the mm-hmm. hospital, and we will still continue to do that. Because of COVID, it was canceled.
Yeah.
Very disappointing. Literally the week before we were going to start our education at Way Memorial on autism, it was canceled because of COVID. So, Tanya, can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure.
Here at Wallen-Palpac?
So, as the Director of Special Education, I'm in charge of all the special education programs. I work closely with the building principals and with the assistant superintendent and the superintendent to ensure that we're in compliance with all the regulations for special education programming. And I attend a lot of meetings with parents. I work with teachers. And sometimes with students, but my job is primarily working with teachers and parents and administration to support our students.
Great. And Dan, what about you?
Well, I kind of get to what Tanya is not able to get to during the course of her day. I deal a bit more with the compliance end on the paperwork side of things, as well as assistive technology and trying to find devices and solutions for problems that our students may be having when it comes to access to the instruction that's occurring in the classroom.
Wow. So although they give you about 40 hours a week full time, you probably work about 60.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it is.
And I feel it takes someone special to do what you both of you do. So thank you again. So can you explain to our audience what is autism?
Absolutely. So what we hear oftentimes when people start to discuss autism is that they term it as being high functioning or low functioning, but autism spectrum disorder is actually significantly more complex than that, where it's not just somebody that would be high functioning, who would have communication skills and be able to live independently in the community, versus someone who's low functioning, who would have much more significant communicating with people and maybe need a lot more assistance just with independent activities of daily living. It actually has, I'd like you to think of multiple sliders of different levels of ability within, they range from intellectual ability to some of the social skills, verbal and nonverbal communication, behavior, sensory skills, and even motor skills. And individuals with autism, their characteristics are very, very different depending on those individual traits and characteristics in each of those different categories. So you could have somebody that is extremely high when it comes to intelligence, but is extremely lacking in the area of communication skills. So although they are very much able to think through and problem solve and those types of things, they have a very difficult time communicating that ability. But you could have the exact opposite, where somebody is very verbal and able to communicate anything that they're thinking, but not have nearly that intellectual capacity that another individual with autism may have. So it really does vary significantly mm-hmm. from individual to individual.
Right. It sounds very complicated, and I'm sure as your role as special ed teachers that or educators, that's something that you do. Mm-hmm. So how is a child diagnosed with mm-hmm. autism? Or it could also be on an adult level, although I know yes. you deal with you know, mm-hmm. students under the age of, I guess, 21.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And even early intervention a little bit. You know, we mm-hmm. have early intervention programs in our building for children that are 3. So really that 3 to 21 is the population we're looking at. There's two ways you can really be diagnosed with autism. There's an educational diagnosis, which is something that our school psychologists can do. So they would do an evaluation on a student, and they look at their cognitive ability, their academic ability, and they also look at their social skills, other behaviors, their adaptive skills, how well they can function in their environment. Our school psychologists can look at that and see a tendency towards autism. So they could make an educational diagnosis for autism, which does mean something in the school setting, but it does not mean something out in the community to get mm-hmm. other kinds of services. Parents who are interested in that, we might make a recommendation to go further. But oftentimes it happens before they get to the school setting, and it's usually a pediatrician that probably notices something, you know, with communication or social skills or behavior that seems a little different than the typical 3-year-old or 18-month-year-old is acting. And then they would maybe do something themselves if they're a pediatrician that is doing that. But usually they're looking at a developmental pediatrician, a psychologist or a psychiatrist to make those diagnoses of autism. Usually just a typical pediatrician would not make that diagnosis. So usually our families have to travel a little bit further away to get that diagnosis. Mm-hmm. But then once they have that diagnosis and, you know, recommendations are made, then we can follow through with that, and they don't have to keep going back to that pediatrician necessarily after the diagnosis is made.
Right, because they can put a plan in place, yes. right? And yep. that's something mm-hmm. that you do as a school district. Mm-hmm. And before I forget, other school districts, do they have similar plans in place? I mean, yes. are there guidelines, Absolutely. National guidelines and, mm-hmm. you know, Department of Education guidelines yes. that you have to follow, correct?
Yeah, all, and especially when I'm looking at our local school districts, we actually work very closely together because we have a consortium. So we even share some of our programs. So some students that might be a Wayne Highland student could come to Wampalpac, and that's, you know, students with autism and other disabilities. And the same thing, we might have students from Wampalpac go to Wayne Highlands or to Western Wayne to receive programming there, so that we have the most specialized program for each student.
Right, and that's what I love about Wayne County is we have that connection among the school districts, among many, many of the different organizations. And I know, Dan, that's how you and I met, because we were both on Absolutely. The System of Care leadership team.
Yes.
And that's what brought us all to light, mm-hmm. you know, and this great topic. So what about the program? Mm-hmm. What programs are available for, you know, students with autism?
Yeah. I mean, it looks really different because as you know, Dan was saying that the student with autism can look very different depending on their needs. But, you know, we have everything from regular education with some accommodations and supports all the way to a multiple disability classroom for our students that have the most significant needs, you know, that may have autism. They could be in that classroom. But I think, Dan, do you want to talk about some of the services that our kids can receive, like speech?
Absolutely. And before I do that, I kind of want to take the opportunity to just discuss the IEP process
yeah.
as well.
Oh, yes, please.
So when a student's diagnosed with autism in an educational mm-hmm. setting, a school psychologist would make that recommendation for what's called specially designed instruction. However, at that point, it's the IEP team, which is a group of individuals that have knowledge of the student. So you would be discussing with teachers, special education teachers, regular education teachers, most importantly, the parents, as well as the student when the student reaches 13 years old or older, or even earlier, if we decide as an IEP team that it would be appropriate for the student to participate in their meeting. But that group of individuals is actually who makes the decisions as far as what specially designed instruction is needed and what classes and programs would be best suited to reach that student at an instructional level. Mm-hmm. So in addition to educational services, which Tanya talked about, which could range from anything that's, you know, would be fully included in regular education, all the way to what would be considered like a multiple disabilities classroom or a classroom that would be completely specialized and not with general education peers. We also offer services such as speech and language pathology, occupational therapy and physical therapy, as well as social work services. And I think that, you know, they oftentimes will service anytime from, you know, once a month to multiple times per week in an individual setting. Again, all depending on what that IEP team determines is a need for the student. And then all of those services, as well as the educational services, are required to provide interventions and show that the interventions that, that they're completing show progress or right. and growth in the student. The other piece that I wanted to mention, because it kind of touches back on what is autism and that wide varied ability, is that although most of the services that we're talking about are covered in Chapter 14 of special education, school age, special education, some of our students also receive gifted services in addition to the special education services, because again they have that very high intellectual ability, which we also need to support, because they do have a way where oftentimes they can see the world just a little bit differently than another person would be able to. So we have to take all of that into account,
which is amazing, because I shouldn't say that, but maybe when people think of autism, they think of someone who maybe can't do certain things, but they can. Yeah. You challenge them. Mm-hmm. And that's a great part. I heard when you said that, Dan, that you do an evaluation. You make sure you track their progress. Your goal is to help them achieve and help them succeed in life. And that's really, you know, the biggest thing.
Yeah, and one other thing I wanted to mention about the services, the speech therapist often becomes an integral piece of the puzzle, because a lot of students with autism, and not all, but a lot, struggle with communication in some way. So a speech therapist might be working on things just like social language and understanding and how to have a typical conversation. But they also might be doing things like recommending devices for that student to be able to communicate, for that nonverbal student to be able to communicate with their peers and parents and community members. So they might be helping them pick a device, an assistive technology device, and then help them learn how to use it.
And that can happen in school, right?
Yes, it happens in school and in the community as well.
Okay, so we only have like 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
How do you prepare your students for graduation? Because I know, maybe you mentioned Project Search.
That's going to come up here, yes.
So I did do a show on that, so. Yeah.
We have a lot of things within our school setting. We partner closely with OVR, the Office of Vocational Rehabilitation, to help prepare our students. We also have developed a transition studio, and our transition studio is for students that have completed high school. Like they're 18, it's the 18 to 21 year old population, and it focuses on kids' independent living skills and their employment skills. And we run a coffee shop right in our high school, and we take our students out into the community as well to learn those skills that they're going to need in the future. And then we do a Project Search.
And we won't get into it too much, because I know that you did an interview with, I believe it was Mr. Blaskowitz.
Yes.
A little while back. Mm-hmm. But Project Search is a great example of all of the organizations within our county working together to benefit our students and quite honestly, create an environment in which competitive, independent employment is possible, which is something that I think we've made a lot of growth in our community over the last decade or so. And projects such as Project Search that show, you know, just a collaboration between the school districts, the hospital, OVR, Living Unlimited, which is our job coaching agency, as well as the county in general, are really getting students out and placed in our local areas. So, it's just a of great benefit.
Yeah. Great.
And I mean, we are developing communication boards for emergency situations too, that we want to get out into the local communities. We're starting piloting it within our schools, but our speech therapists are working closely together to develop these emergency communication boards for students that would have difficulty communicating, or adults even that would have difficulty communicating. And we want to get them out to all of our police departments, our even our grocery stores.
Even the hospital.
Of course, the hospital.
We definitely want to get our training back on board.
As soon as possible.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Tanya, Dan, thank you so much for being on the show today. I think the information you shared is so helpful, and to let our community know, you know, what the school districts do for our children, especially with disabilities. We know that we give every children the opportunity for education, but that's the point. Every single child has the ability to go to school, and you're able to work with them. So thank you so much.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to discuss this today.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Again, this is Carol Kinnear, Way Memorial Community Health Manager, wishing you a great day, and thank you for listening.